Hello everyone, this is your host Aditya. A quick heads up, as many of you know, we are now recording the podcast mostly on Clubhouse, which is a slightly different format that involves a lot more people and more free-flowing discussion. One of the effects of that is that we end up with way longer episodes and a lot of digressions off topic, which are interesting, but basically gives me a lot more work to do to edit. So what I've done to make things a little more digestible, both for you as the listener, as well as for me to actually get episodes out on time, is I've broken up the episode into two parts. So the topic we're discussing is the OTT streaming platforms in India. This is part one, where we're going to talk about some of our favorite shows, both good and bad, on the likes of Netflix, Amazon, Sony Live, etc. Even going back to the early days of YouTube and TVF. Part two will follow shortly, where we'll talk a little bit more about the evolution of the OTT space as a whole, as well as the long tail of shows that we don't maybe cover in part one. I also realized that on Clubhouse, you can actually see who's participating in the conversation, which means we never introduced ourselves. And so, for the benefits of the tape, cast in order of appearance is Darvish, Ishita, Satyan, Arjun, and Rohit. That, of course, excludes me, but let's be real. I'm not important. Nobody is listening to this for me. Thank you, everyone, and I hope you enjoy the show.
The following podcast was broadcast live on Clubhouse and was recorded with the express consent of all involved participants. For full and uncut access to future episodes, download Clubhouse and listen live on Sundays at 7:30 PM IST, 9 AM Eastern Time.
You're listening to Bollywood Weekly.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us. I'm glad that there are at least five people who thought this was worthwhile, which I'm sure also happens to my regular podcast as well. I just don't have to ever witness it live, so this is good. But so today's podcast is about a topic that I am personally super excited about. We're talking about OTT, which, as Ishita pointed out, in the context of Bollywood, can be misconstrued. So we're not actually talking about movies that we think are over the top or OTT, because that would be most of Bollywood. We are talking about the movies and shows that have been produced and distributed by the likes of Netflix, Amazon Prime, Hotstar, Sony Live, so on and so on. I'm excited for two reasons. One, obviously, to talk about the shows and the content and all of that. I'm also, from a slightly kind of film nerd perspective, I followed the whole, you know, streaming space pretty much since it began. And I would also love to talk a little bit about how it's evolved and how it's kind of changed the industry, right? Specifically in India. So at some point, I might steer the conversation in that direction. But I guess to start with, would love to hear from you guys. What has been your top number one streaming show, Indian show, obviously?
Wow, everyone's super shy here. I'm going to go first because this is the easy one for me. Made in Heaven. I actually think it's one of the better things I've watched, like, period, across any TV series, you know, like American, British, or Indian. So I'm going to start with that. Anyone have any views on Made in Heaven if you guys have watched it?
Yeah, that was definitely my number one, too. It's just very cool because, especially when you watch Indian movies or even some of the other shows, the whole Indian shadi industry is quite a, like, very glamorized and, you know, all from, like, Karan Johar movies. And it's, like, very cool to see actually what the real underbelly of that industry is. And there is a very large underbelly. So I think that that was very cool. And I think it doesn't force a lot of the newer age or metro storylines, as we call it, on you. Like, the obviously, the homosexual aspect to it, I think, is really well handled. And the complexity is well handled. But yeah, it was really fun to watch. They chuck in everything you want. Like, you want the love triangle, that's there, like the cheating husband, the like really weird storylines, and then you have it in the context of like a wedding, an episode, But yeah, I thought it felt something that actually was too good for Indian television. And now that we get a lot more streaming, I think that we've seen a lot more stuff that is similar. But I think especially because I think it's like a year old, 2 years old now, right? I think we watched it 2019.
Yeah, pre-pandemic. Although yeah. I really like the fact that you said that it had everything we wanted, and then you said the cheating husband. Like that's not something I've ever thought I wanted in a show.
Cheating husband is a great storyline always. Like I just think it's very cool to incorporate in anything. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah, I really liked the show as well. And I remember that I hadn't particularly heard too much about it because they, unlike a lot of the other shows even that Amazon has done before, they didn't spend a lot of time like kind of promoting it and marketing. They just kind of released it and they were like, oh, this show is here now. By the way, it's by Zoya Akhtar, so you should watch it. And then when I started watching it, I think we basically finished it in the space of like a day and a half, because it was just so good and it was so unexpected as well that you're just like, oh, I need to keep watching this.
Yeah, I mean, for me particularly, I think the fact that whenever I watch an Indian TV series, it drops off even when it's good. And I think we'll come back to like when you talk about, you know, really good shows, I'll say Sacred Games season one, not Sacred Games as a whole, but you almost expect the drop off and it just like episode after episode, like it just kept coming with really good quality storylines and you know, everything was intertwined really, really well. You know, I thought that was genius.
Yeah, I think that's also mainly because, again, this OTT thing shift has kind of got that where you can kind of plan out Netflix, Amazon, they've given like creators a confidence to kind of plan out a series properly and, you know, make sure that you're kind of hitting those marks throughout the series rather than kind of dropping off a bit.
I would say yes and no, right? Because I think, you know, obviously streaming as a medium allows the creators to do that. It's still a lot of effort to get it right. And I think, you know, especially like Amazon, they have a lot of shows which are very starry or on the surface seem interesting. And then you actually watch them and you're just like, how have you taken such a good concept and done it so badly? Whereas with this one, I feel like even though, you know, they could have easily given the context of weddings and high scale, high society and all of that, they could have gone for a very surface level approach, but they actually invest a lot in building the characters, building the narratives and the backstories of not just the main two or three characters, right? But at least there are 8 or 10 characters who you really feel like you get to know through the series, including like Jazz, who is one of the staff or the assistants at their company, including Jim Sarp's character, including everyone involved. So I thought that was really nicely done.
Yeah, and like rightly or wrongly, I always, and I guess it's like taking a step back, but I always look at streaming as to like what shows I would recommend, whether dubbed or subtitled, to non-Hindi or not Indian people, the way we watch like French and, you know, Spanish, etc., all of these shows. And I remember when Made in Heaven came out, it was the first show where I'd like told all my friends in the US and stuff, being like, it's okay, like anyway, 99% of it is in English, so it doesn't really matter, like just try and watch it. And a lot of them really enjoyed it. Like it's something that's very like gritty in a entertaining way.
Yeah, agreed. Darvish, since you brought up Sacred Games, I think let's talk about that, because I think that was the first show that really kind of was a mainstream hit, I would say, right? Coming out of a streaming platform.
Yeah, and it was different, right? Like when it came out, for me at least, season one was so different to anything I'd seen. Again, probably maybe just a bit of a prelude. I think it was right before Made in Heaven, if I'm not mistaken. And, you know, it was just everything about it was so different. There was an incredible plot. Obviously, a great actor. Sorry, guys, I really love Seth. So, but a great actor as well to cast it. And then also Nawazuddin Siddiqui, who has probably never done anything bad in his life in terms of acting. So, yeah, I thought it was absolutely fantastic the way it started. And very, very different to anything at that point, at least, that I'd seen in Indian cinema.
It was gritty. It was dark. And it made you a little uncomfortable, left you feeling a little unsettled. But also from an artistic standpoint, I think storytelling, art direction, music, everything just played into each other so well, and it was a very, very polished sort of piece of work. And you didn't often see that even in a movie coming out of India. So to see it as a TV series was quite refreshing.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, Sacred Games, I think, was the first Indian show that I binged watch within like a day.
I'd like to point out that's probably season one, right?
Yeah, season one. Yeah, I mean, when it came out, I mean, it looked amazing on trailers, and I mean, like you guys said, it's just the way, again, it's kind of set up throughout the series with all these like kind of twists and turns and everything, and just sort of keeps you hooked, which is something that, I mean, aside, like, it's not overly dramatic like soap operas where there's like twists every single episode and everything, and sort of things logically flow into the next thing. But that's one series. I agree with you guys. It was something that was completely new and something that I was like very, very excited about.
I think one thing I'd like to add to that is that, you know, just seeing both like Nawazuddin and Saif being able to share the screen and both be equally important, and carry that off, that was pretty impressive as well.
I'm curious, Pish, I don't know if you know, were there any Americans or Hollywood screenwriters or even other members of the team involved in the production? Because it often felt like it wasn't an Indian style, an Indian approach.
No, as far as I know, actually, it is a fully, like, Phantom Films basically kind of did it end-to-end, right? At least the creative crew, writing, direction, all of that was fully handled by, like, Anurag Kashyap, Vikramaditya Motwane, a bunch of writers as well that they got on board. I don't know if, like, Netflix helped with any of the overall production, but as far as I know, not really, right? And I think it was also interesting, this show it was the first show where you had a real mainstream A-list actor anchoring it, right? And I think in Hollywood, you had seen the likes of Netflix and HBO and stuff would get really top talent to come to streaming, and people didn't see it as like a step down or whatever. Whereas I think in India, before this, people still had this kind of perception, right? That, okay, web series and shows are just stuff happening on the internet that up-and-coming people are trying to do. But here it was, okay, Anurag Kashyap, Vikramaditya Motwane, Saif Ali Khan, Nawaz, these are all like really big A-list guys, and they are doing this. And so I think that also made a lot of people sit up and notice.
Yeah, if I remember the story right on this one, though, this is obviously before India set up its Netflix team. So this is all done out of the international team in LA. And I think it was one of the Netflix guys, like, I think it's their head of international programs, something like that, who actually read the novel and wanted to like adapt it into something and then approach someone for it. So it wasn't an incoming pitch into Netflix. Netflix actually like started the process here. So I think that probably, to your point, it creates a bit more of a carte blanche, right? Versus an Indian production team thinking about the way things work in India and then pitching it to Netflix.
Yeah, that's fair.
Hello, listener. It's me again. A quick aside before our next segment, we are going to talk about Rajiv, Lakshman and Raghu Ram and the shows that they have made into an institution over the last couple of decades. We discovered later that Rajiv Lakshman actually follows us on Clubhouse and might be a listener of the pod. So Rajiv, if you're listening, please don't hate us or take what we're saying too seriously. And Satyen's admiration for you is sincere. Also, we would love to have you on the show, either just to participate in one of our regular episodes, or we can do a dedicated rebuttal of some of the things we're going to say next and hear your side of the story. With that, back to the show.
Can I throw in my first bad show that I absolutely enjoyed?
Four more shots, please. Please say four more shots, please.
If you think that's my level of bad, then I have some news for you. My show is Skulls and Roses. How many of you have heard of that?
Never heard of it.
Oh my God. I saw the trailer.
Doesn't it just have a bunch of bald men on the movie poster?
Yes.
Okay.
It's basically what Love Island meet Roadies, right?
No, I am it's adding it to my list.
Right? Oh, it's that Raghu Ram show. Oh my God.
Yes, Raghu and Rajiv. Hosted by Raghu and Rajiv. Amazing. It's Roadies meets Splitsvilla. And it is absolutely incredible. I'll give you the premise very quickly. There's two islands, Skull Island and Rose Island. Rose Island is meant for love and it's overseen by Rajiv. And Skull Island is basically break you and it's overseen by Raghu. And it's basically couples, so boys and girls. And the point of Rose Island is to make it there as a couple and you get treated like royalty. And if you end up losing on Skull Island, you get put in prison. Like there's literally a prison where they tie you up. They put you in like smaller cages. And it's communal eating where you're hunched over a sink and they just come and dump the food and you just got to eat out of that. And it is pretty insane. They have tasks like roadies. One of the tasks is to make sex sounds. The other one is to recreate Kama Sutra poses. And these are just a couple of them. So hope I've piqued your curiosity enough for you to watch it right away.
Why have you watched this?
I binged it in 3 days.
I'm really excited for the portion where we talk about like what's on your list and it's going to turn out some phenomenal shows are on your list and instead you're wasting time watching this.
No, this was so good. It made me reminisce the days of Roadies and Splitsvilla, both of which I enjoyed thoroughly. Obviously, not because it was great, but just for the entertainment. And this delivered on all of the different parameters.
I remember distinctly when Satyen shared this trailer with me. The biggest revelation of that trailer was the fact that Raghu Ram's brother's name is actually Rajiv Lakshman. That blew my mind.
So their parents forced them into comedy.
Those two are absolute legends, true visionaries. The way they actually came up with Roadies and stuck to it for how many, 12 years was it? Or 13 years? It's hats off to them for doing that.
Speaking of bad originals or bad OTT stuff, right? The first one that I was actually super excited for looking at the trailer and then I started watching it and I couldn't believe my eyes was Inside Edge. Have you guys seen?
It's great.
Yeah. Isn't this the comeback of Vivek Oberoi or was that a different one?
That was one of the first kind of streaming shows that was out. I mean, I know we talked about Secret Games being like the one that kind of put it on the map, but I think Inside Edge was Inside Edge was the first show that like Amazon launched. Yeah.
I saw the first episode and just couldn't watch after that. Yeah. I don't know.
Hey guys, come on. Richa Chadha and Vivek Oberoi. What could go wrong?
I mean, I think that's probably where the term over the top comes from. It's probably from that show. But what I really couldn't understand for the life of me is that Richa Chadha and Vivek Oberoi are not inherently bad actors, right? Like Richa Chadha has done so many amazing roles. Vivek Oberoi, okay, his career has been a bit up and down, but in the movies where he's been really good, like Shootout at Lokhandwala, he's really good, or he was at some point of time. I don't know how on earth the two of them could just give such awful performances.
I feel like it could be just new to the sort of streaming format that they're trying to do something different and it's kind of failed miserably. I don't know.
I don't think they had much to work with in terms of script, to be honest.
That's true.
I actually disagree, man. I think the plot was actually okay. The cricket parts of the plot and the match fixing parts of it were pretty interesting. It was just a very poorly written script because all the dialogues just felt like they were some from like cheesy 80s movie. But the actual narrative and the plot, I thought, was interesting enough for them to have had something to work with, right?
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think the overall premise was fine. But I think, again, when you talk about the script and the way people, again, acted, and you're right, it was a little bit cheesy. It was a little bit like overly acted by everyone. It wasn't exactly a natural screenplay, was it? Like, even the, like, when you think about like Vayu getting, like, really angry, etc., and, like, his scenes, they always seem, like, significantly more over the top than they actually need to be. So, like, none of that show was a comfortable watch in terms of acting skill, right?
Yeah, but I think again, taking a kind of step back, right? I think that show actually did pretty well for Amazon because for them, their approach was, I need to make like a massy entertainer and show people that
you don't have to go to like a theater for that. You can also get Masi entertainment here, which is very different from, I would say, what most of the other OTTs, which have gone for very premium positioning early on, right? And in a way, it was quite smart of them. Of course, it then gave rise to things like Alt Balaji, which I don't quite know how that is really the definition of OTT. But yeah, has anyone seen a show on Alt Balaji? I just have to know.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
I know, yeah, there's neither. Z5. That one I have heard of.
I mean, okay, Z5, Sony Live, all these things are in a way, whatever, just like any other streaming service.
Oh my god, I will tell you, Pish, I have watched a show on Alt Balaji because I got really excited that Dino Moria was back on television, and I definitely watched a few episodes of Mentalhood.
Get and, in, Ishita, Dino Moria.
You know what? I am the holder of alternative opinions, I promise. But yeah, genuinely. I watched a few Mentalhood also because like I was just intrigued to see like Karishma Kapoor back on. It's actually, I think, a very good show. I think what it's trying to appeal to is that is like the housewife that was watching the really, really shitty daily soap type of stuff, and to kind of pull that up by a step. But definitely appealing more to the metros because it's all about moms who basically are all just trying to be great moms. If you guys have ever watched the movie Bad Moms in Hollywood, I think it's like a version of that. It's basically showing all these moms trying to compete with each other to be great and how their kids are suffering and how there's just too much to do nowadays. So I think I lasted about 3 episodes. But it is, I get what the USP of these types of show are, that, you know, you basically create everything and anything and hope it sticks somewhere.
Yeah, but I mean, I would say Alt Balaji, they have like 3 or 4 shows which sound to me in the category of what you described, where, you know, they have some level of like reasonably famous actors, and it's not maybe amazing, but it's reasonable enough to have some appeal, to give the platform like some level of credibility. And then there is beyond that a whole bunch of shows where Ekta Kapoor has just been like, okay, in daytime TV, I can only do so much. All these other dark, twisted thoughts in the back of my mind, which I believe India wants to see where no one is looking, I'm just going to put on here. So it's just like sex, witchcraft, like all this kind of weird stuff, all like mashed into a cocktail. And there's like a bunch of shows which are just this. And you watch the trailers and, you know, there was a time, because I lived in India, when Alt Balaji was launched, right? And they had like a partnership or a tie-up with Ola cabs. So in the Ola cab, you could actually, they had like an iPad at the back where you could like watch some stuff from various players. And Alt Balaji was one of them. And so you could like see trailers for their shows. And I was like, okay, let me check out what this is. And you're just in shock. There's a show called Gandhi Bath. You guys should check out the trailer of that one to know what I'm talking about.
Oh, that's top of my list then.
Yeah, but, yeah. I think the other one, the Z5 one, if I'm not mistaken, that has some Pakistani content on it as well, right? And actually, like, I don't know how much you guys watch or listen to your mothers and grandmothers who watch. A lot of the stuff that I feel is the better, or rather the mid-level stuff that's coming OTT, is actually inspired by Pakistani plays, because Pakistani plays are basically just mini-series, and sometimes you get multiple seasons and sometimes you get just one. And I am the daughter of a person who watches, I think, all of them. And when you hear about their stories and the way that they're written and just overall, they're actually much higher quality than anything we ever used to make on television. And so now when you go to OTT, you actually finally see some of that coming into India, which I think is good, and probably a result of the fact that they blocked all those channels if you live in India. So you had to create some of your own as well.
Yeah, there's this show on Z5 called The Churels, right? Which is supposed to be
really good. It's really good. It's really good.
Can I just throw in a bit of a throwback? But this was not on Prime or Netflix. This was on YouTube first, and then AIB shared it on their YouTube page. The Better Life Foundation.
Oh, great show. Although I didn't actually watch the second season.
Was this the Office one? Like the
correct.
Okay.
Yes. Sumuki Suresh, Kanan Gill, Naveen Richards, working in an NGO and just trying to do good for their community, and it's just set like The Office in a mockumentary sort of style.
Yeah, I remember watching that. That was actually pretty funny and pretty original for the time. I think that was maybe even before Inside Edge, right?
I think so, correct. And it was one of those first few that actually felt well-written, totally made for digital, online content, really conversational, enjoyable, and a very light and fun watch.
Yeah, so and if you haven't seen it, please watch it. It was made by a lot of online content creators, right? It's not
correct. Really
quite the same as Inside Edge or Sacred Games or something.
Yeah, but I mean, if we're expanding this to include like YouTube shows as well, right? I think the actual first web series of some scale was, or the first two or three even, were by TBF, right? Like Permanent Roommates was, I think, the very first one, which was super successful and actually really good. I don't know if you guys have seen Permanent Roommates.
No, I've not.
It's really good. I think it's the first web series that I remember seeing. Because TVF and AIB before that were just doing sketches, right? And then TVF decided to go into making web series, and they did Permanent Roommates, which was really good and really well received. And then they made Pictures, which I'm sure more people would have seen.
Yeah, I've seen both actually, Pictures and Permanent Roommates, and both are actually really good. And just to add about Odd Balaji, basically, I think Ekta signed some deal with Jio and Z5. So a lot of her content started changing because of that. But I think you guys have already addressed, Gandhi Baat and all of the other spectacular shows she makes on there. So, yeah.
Thanks so much for listening. That is the end of part one. As I mentioned, we will be back with part two very soon. In the meantime, please do spread the word about Bollywood Weekly and come join us on Clubhouse to hear the full, unadulterated, unedited versions of the show. See you next week, or month, or, soon, sometime. It'll happen. Don't worry. Just enjoy the show.